Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Tamura Daf Yud Beis. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara Marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our home page. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the Daf before the Shiur, and even better, order your personal volume of this Maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. Today's Shiur begins at the Mishnah that you will find 6 lines from the top of Daf Yud Beis. This Mishnah has a variety of different topics that will be featured. Ein hameduma medamea elo lefi cheshbon. Meduma is a situation where truma, the tithe removed from one's produce and given to kohanim, that tithe, the truma, fell into chulin. The mixture of truma and chulin is problematic. We know that truma is botel, becomes voided if it falls into a mixture 100 times greater than the quantity of truma itself. If it fell into less than 100 times that quantity, the mixture is known as meduma or dimua. This issue of its ability to then ruin in an additional mixture is the subject of this point in the Mishnah, and it says it will ruin it lefi cheshbon. We will get back to this later. The Ein HaMechumetz Mechametz Elo Lefi Cheshbon. Rashi elaborates on this. We will take a look at Rashi together. Ein HaMechumetz Mechametz Elo Lefi Cheshbon. Iso Shechulin, dough of a common nature, as opposed to Meiser or Truma dough. Shenishamso Besor Shel Truma. It became leavened, fermented. This is the process that causes dough to rise. The element that caused the chulin dough to rise was, we refer to it as sourdough, and it's in an intensely fermented dough that happened to be of truma. Harekula asura. So the dough, the chulin dough that became fermented through the mixing in of sa'or of truma, so the entire dough, the entire batter or cake or baked good, whatever is made, is now called something osir, meaning it's not chulin, and only a kohen would be able to eat from it. V'im nofal me'oisa isa l'soich isa acheres shel chulin. Imagine now, from this fermented dough, chulin truma mixture, from that dough, it of some fell into another batter of chulin, v'chim tzosa, and it caused this second batter to ferment, to rise. Eino osarto elo lefi cheshbon sor truma shemurav ba. This second chulin mixture will become forbidden only according to the amount of truma that is represented here. Klomar. And now, examples. Im nofal b'iso achrono min horishono shiur godol kol kach. If a large amount of first batter dough fell into the second dough of chulin, and it was a large enough shiur shehei boy misor shel truma that is, that there is enough truma in the amount that fell into the second batter to cause the second batter to rise, then the second batter becomes forbidden also. Ve'im bein hakol ma shenofa min horishono toch achrona ein bo elo kedei lechametz achrona. If in order to ferment the second batter, you needed all of the dough that fell in from the first batter. In other words, there wasn't enough in the truma representation to ferment the second batter, but you needed to combine the truma and the chulin that fell into the second batter. Then the second batter is muteres, or achrona, shilonofa bo mina truma kidei l'chametz. There wasn't enough truma represented in this mixture, in this second mixture, to cause the second batter to rise. That's the concept of lefi cheshbon. The third example of the Mishnah, the Ein Hamayim Shuvim Poislin Es HaMikveh Lo Lefi Cheshbon. Mayim Shuvim is drawn water, and drawn water as opposed to water that accumulates in a pool, rain water that accumulates without being drawn in vessels. This is drawn water. That's Mayim Shuvim. So Mayim Shuvim Poislin Es HaMikveh Lefi Cheshbon. This too will be elaborated upon in the Gemara. The Ein Mechatos Naasin Mechatos. Mechatos is the water ash mixture that's used to purify someone who had become defiled through Tumas Meis, through contact with the dead. That's Mechatos, the element that purifies the individual. So it doesn't become the official water, Elohim Matan Efer, other than through the addition of the ash of the red cow that is put into the water. The Ein Beis HaPras, Oise Beis HaPras. A Beis HaPras is a field that a body had been buried therein, but it's not clear where in the field the body had been buried. The field was subsequently plowed up, so we hold that the entire field is mitame, causes tuma for someone who walks into it. However, neighboring fields are not affected by this field having been plowed up. The Gemara will elaborate on that later. V'ein truma achar truma. Once truma was tithed, was removed from a particular pile of produce, the second taking of truma, if one were to attempt to take again truma from it, it wouldn't have any truma status. V'ein tmura oise tmura. Once tmura was done, so that animal does not then make another tmura. V'lo havlad oise tmura. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, havlad oise tmura. Regarding the offspring, and it's the offspring of kochim, and its ability to affect a tmura, we have here a machlokes tanoim. Omru loy hektish oise tmura. V'ein havlad oise tmura. They responded to Rabbi Yehuda by saying that something that's sanctified, an initial sanctification, so it can effect or cause a tmura. However, the vlad of a korban, the offspring of a sacrifice, does not activate or cause tmura. We have, as we turn to the Gemara, an introductory note on the outside margin called Mivneh. In this case, we're featuring a structural note as opposed to a Nosei, which we see from time to time, a topic heading. Here, the structural note features a volcano shape, a trapezoid, and we also have an indication that this marking will be used till Daf Yud Gimel Omed Aleph. These are Birurim Al Mi Heim Hatanoim Shel Mishnosenu. These are attempts to determine who the author or the contributing authors to our Mishnah are. There are, as we saw, many, many different topics alluded to in our Mishnah. In fact, we've numbered 7-8 different topics. Who are the authors of each particular point? The Gemara will introduce each one of these questions with the expression of man tano, and hence we've highlighted it with this marking. The Gemara. Man Tana, who is the author that says, Ein hameduma medamea elo lefi cheshboin? We didn't explain this in the learning of the Mishnah, but as the Gemara unfolds, we will see an example of what we're talking about. Omar Reb Chiyo bar Abom Reb Yochanan, Deloi k'Rabbi Eliezer. This idea that meduma is something that can affect a second mixture only in a prorated fashion, this idea is not like Rabbi Eliezer. And that will become clear as we go on. Disnan. We have a Tanaic source, a Mishnah from Maseches Trumos. Sa'a shel truma shenoflo lepochos mimea chulin. A saw is a measure, a certain measure, specific measure of truma, that fell into less than 100 times chulin. Chulin is that which has already been tithed, or we'll call it common produce, allowed produce. The nidmeru, the fact that there's less than 100 times chulin to cancel the truma, so it becomes a mixture known as dimua. So that you have this truma chulin mixture, the nofal min hameduma lemakom acher, and then a portion of this dimua fell into another place, in other words, into other chulin. Rabbi Lezer Omer, midamea ketruma vadai. Whatever amount of truma that originally fell in, so that if, let us say, you had a sa'ah of truma that originally fell into the chulin, and now a sa'ah of the dimua, of the mixture, falls into a second bowl of chulin, Rabbi Lezer says you will have to calculate according to a full sa'ah, because Rabbi Lezer figures that the original sa'ah of truma that fell into the first mixture, when a sa'ah of the mixture falls into another mixture, another pile of chulin, you know what's falling in? It's the original truma that fell into the first mixture is now falling. It's that truma that's falling into the second mixture. So that you'll have to make a calculation regarding the second mixture. Do you have 100 times this amount of the sa'ah that fell into this second mixture? There are, in the parentheses that the printer has here, is a comment that explains Rabbi Lezer, even though some girsos, they take it out because it's not in the original Mishnayos. But Rabbi Lezer's reasoning is, She'ani Omer, I figure, Sa'al Shenofla He Sha'alsa, the original soft truma that fell in to the first mixture, is the Sa'al now that's falling into the second mixture. V'chachomim Omrim Eino Midama'as Elo Lefi Cheshbon Sheba. And now we look at Rashi, who gives us an actual case. Elo lefi cheshbon. Rashi, you'll notice, is found several lines under the Gemara text. Elo lefi cheshbon. Lefi ma shiyesh truma besazu shel dimua, according to the amount of truma that's represented in this quantity, in this saw that now falls into the second mixture. Bo'inon mea shiurim min hachulin. You'll need to have 100 times, not the entire saw that falls into the second mixture, but 100 times the percentage of truma that's in this saw. Avol mea sa'in lo bo'inon. You don't have to have a full 100 saw of chulin in the second mixture. Kagon, and now an actual example. Im nofla tchila saw shel truma, l'soich esrim v'arba sa'in shel chulin. If one saw of truma fell into 24 saw of chulin. Well, 24 saw of chulin is not enough. It's not 100. It's only 24. Therefore, nidme'u. It's not enough to, as we said, to cancel the truma. Therefore, it's called a dimua mixture. The achshav kol saw v'saw shiyesham. Any given saw that's in this particular mixture, have echod michavdalet shebo truma. 1/24 of it is truma. Vahainu lug truma b'chol saw v'saw. The 1/24 of a saw is a lug. It's another name. It's another type of measure. A smaller measure. Im chazra v'nofla saw me'osa demua, l'so chulin achirim, if now a saw of this first mixture falls into a second pile of chulin, im yesh sham shivim v'shiva lugin achirim shechulin, if there is 77 lug, other lug of chulin, mitstarfen im esrim ushloisha lugin chulin shibsazu, it will join up with the 23 lug of chulin that's in this saw. We said a saw has 24 lugin in it. If 1/24 is truma, so then 23/24 is chulin. So that I have in this saw itself 23 times the truma. Therefore, if in the second mixture you've got 77, just now add 77 plus 23, you get 100. Umevatlin es lug hatruma. That will be enough to cancel the lug of truma that's in this sa'or that fell from the original mixture into the second mixture. The Gemara continues. V'ein ha-mechumatz mechametz v'chulei. We already explained what that meant by the Rashi that we learned on the Mishnah. Omar Rabbi Chiya bar Abba, Omar Rabbi Yochanan, Masnisen deloy k'Rabbi Lezer. Notice we have this volcano shape around Masnisen. This is the same effort that we were engaged in before in trying to figure out the author of this point. So Rabbi Yochanan tells us that our Mishnah is not like Rabbi Eliezer. Disnan. Here you will see a source that deals with a sourdough truma mixture. Seor shel chulin v'shel truma shenaflu l'socha isa. Sourdough of chulin and of truma fell into a bowl, into a batter, into dough. V'lo bozeh kedei lahachmitz, v'lo bozeh kedei lahachmitz. As far as the amount of sourdough of chulin on its own, or the amount of sourdough of truma on its own, there wasn't enough to cause the batter into which they fell to rise. However, together, v'nitztarfu v'chimtzu, but together they are able, it's enough to cause the dough to rise. Rabbi Lezer Omer, achar acharon ani ba. Rabbi Lezer says, I look at the second one to which to have fallen in will determine the status. That is a basic translation, which means that if the chulin fell in second, so then the batter is okay. If the truma fell in second, though, so then it is not okay. It is forbidden to non-kohanim. Rashi adds a lot to this particular opinion, and he points out, based on Shitas Abaye, that's found in another Gemara, that Achar Achron, that Rabbi Lezer says, is not exactly that. That is true if, let us say, the Chulin fell in second, and in the meantime, you had removed the truma from there, from the mixture, then we say it's okay. However, if the chulin fell in second, but the truma was still there, they are both contributing factors to the fermentation of this dough. That's called ze v'ze gorem, when you have a permitted and a forbidden causing factors. Rabbi Lezer is of the opinion that ze v'ze gorem, a forbidden and an allowed causative factor, they are viewed as forbidden. Ze v'ze gorem osir is what is how it's commonly known. That's Shitas Rabbi Lezer. V'chachomim omrim bein shenofal iser lechadchilo bein shenofal iser besof. Whether the forbidden sourdough fell in first or it fell in second, le'olam ein osur, it will not create prohibition, ad shehe boy kedei lahachmitz, unless there is enough in the forbidden substance itself to cause the fermentation. So that as far as the chachomim are concerned, the the focus is on simply quantity of forbidden stuff. If it's enough, it will cause it to become forbidden. If, however, you don't have enough of the forbidden substance to cause fermentation on its own, so then it does not ruin the batter. The Ein Hamayim Shuvim Poislim Es HaMikveh Elo Lefi Cheshbon, we said. Man Tana, who is the author of this idea? Omer Reb Chiyo Bar Abba Reb Yochanan, Reb Elezer Ben Yankiv Hi. Disnan. Well, we'll give you now a Tanaic source, and we should point out ahead of time that until we get to the real explanation of this line of the Mishnah, we go through several, we'll call it a lot of different factors and variables are brought in until we get to the actual final pshat. So, in the meantime, there's a Tanaic source, Rabbi Lezer ben Yankiv Omer, Mikveh Sheyesh Bo Esrim Ve'achas Sa'ah Mei Gishomim. A mikveh that has in it 21 sa'ah, we saw before sa'ah is a measure, 21 sa'ahs of rainwater. Technically, a mikveh should have in it a minimum of 40 sa'ah of accumulated rainwater. We say accumulated meaning it's not drawn in vessels and then poured into the pool, but it falls from the rain water falls directly into the pool, without getting into the great amount of detail needed for mikveh construction. We're trying to keep things simple. So Reb Elezer ben Yankiv is describing not 40 saw, but only 21 saw of rainwater. Mimale bekosef tisha asar saw, you can fill up an additional 19 saw of drawn water, upoiskon lemikveh. That means, one thing it doesn't mean is don't pour it directly into the mikveh, that won't be kosher. However, the 19 additional saw that you need for 40, what you can do is you would dig a ditch leading into the mikveh, pour the water onto the ground, pour this drawn water into the ground, onto the ground, it then finds its way into this ditch, and it flows through the ditch to the mikveh. That's the idea of poskon. Let's look at Rashi at the bottom of the Omid. Poskon lemikveh shelo yarim in adli l'soicha mikveh. Don't pour from the pail directly into the mikveh. The afilu b'shloisha lugin mitzal lemikveh b'chihai gavna. Even three lug, one lug is a 24th of a saw we just saw before, so even three lug would ruin a mikveh if you poured them directly into a mikveh that's lacking 40 saw. And here we're talking about a mikveh that has only 21 saw in it right now. Avol yaseh charitz v'guma l'merachok, you would make some type of ditch and a hole at a distance from the mikveh, v'yare min hadli l'soicha guma, and pour the water from the pail of drawn water into this ditch, v'kalchu hamayim derech hacharitz, the water will then flow through this ditch, l'soicha mikveh, into the mikveh that had the 21 saw of rainwater, v'hainu hamshocha, and that's what we call hamshocha. The Gemara continues at the top of Omid Beis, Vehein Tahorin, and Tahorin means that now the mikveh will be effective in rendering those that are tameh to become tahor. Shashiva mitaheres biravia uvahamshocha. Shiva is drawn water, is becomes acceptable. Mitaheres means, for our purposes, becomes acceptable, provided you have roiv. Reveal means you have roiv, the majority of mei gishomim that were there before, majority of rainwater there before. Ubam shocha is the process we just mentioned with the ditch and the pouring of the drawn water into it, leading into the mikveh. So this source features Reb Elezer ben Yankiv, and Rashi explains that the language of the source indicates that he represents a lenient opinion. This leads us to ask a question. Michlal de Rabbanan Savri de Brevia uvahamshochalo. Are we to conclude from this that the Rabbanan who argue with Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, we don't see them here in the source, but there is another opinion. Are we to assume then that they would represent a stricter approach? And we know that that's not the case. Therefore, Elo ha dechi osa rovin amar Rabbi Yochanan. If you were to say that which we don't want to say, if you were to say that the Rabbanan would tell you that this method of completing 40 saw is not acceptable, well then, what are you going to do with this teaching of Ravin Amar Rabbi Yochanan that says, She'uva shimshichua kula tahira, drawn water, that you do this hamshacha process to, even if it's a complete 40 saw that you do this to, it is effective. Money, who would be the source or the author of this halacha that Rabbi Yochanan is quoting? Lo Rabbanon velo Rabbi Elazar. It won't be the Rabbanon, because we said that they're stricter than Rabbi Elazar. And Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, he did allow Hamshacha, but that was provided you started off with a majority of rain water. And this quote that Ravin is, what Ravin in the name of Rabbi Yochanan is saying, you can actually do it, you can make a mikvah of complete drawn water if you do it through Hamshacha. Therefore, we have to reevaluate what we are saying. Elo Omar Rav Popo, the Mishnah that spoke about Lefi Cheshbon is not that which Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov taught before, but rather it's Lefi Cheshbon Kelim VeYosef ben Choini Hi. We have a Tanaic source, and you can see in the source we've underlined the name Yosef ben Choini. And when we learn this source, then it will become clear what the Mishnah was talking about when it mentioned that Mayim Sheuvim Poslim Es HaMikveh Lefi Cheshbon. But one thing is for sure, it's not related at all to what we have been saying till now. There is a note that we ought to look at in Rashi. Ela Omar of Papa, Rabbonon Lekula Pligi. The Rabbonon, in fact, do represent a more lenient approach than Rebbe Elazar ben Yaakov, in so far as they're having said that a mikveh can be made of completely drawn water if you do it through Hamshacha. V'ha dechi osa Ravin Rabbonon hi. The quote that Ravin brought on the third line, fourth line from the top, is in fact in accordance with the Rabbanan. Umasnisen lav behoche kamairi. The Mishnah that spoke about the mayim sheuvim pasaling lefi cheshbon is not talking about this. The tema that would then lead us to say, Rabbi Elazar, the Mishnah is according to Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. The Rabbanan lechum repligi, and then leaving us with the feeling that the Rabbanan are stricter. No, that is not the case. Rather, the Mishnah, when it spoke about Mayim Shu'uvim Pasaling Lefi Cheshbon, is talking about something else. And now, we'll see what that is. The Sanya, the Tanaic source, begins here, Shlosha Lugin Mayim Shu'uvim Shenoflu Lemikveh B'Shnayim U'Shlosha Kelim V'Afilu Ba'arbo V'Chamisha Kelim Poislim Es HaMikveh. If you have 3 lug of drawn water that falls into a mikveh. And the mikveh that we speak about when we raise the issue of 3 lug, it's a mikveh that doesn't have 40 saw in it yet. So if you have a mikveh that's called a mikveh chasera, and 3 lug of drawn water fall into the mikveh, they will ruin the mikveh. They will stop this mikveh from becoming kosher. The 3 lug of water that falls in, this source tells it, might be distributed between 2. between three, maybe even four or five vessels, so that if you are looking at the case of four or five vessels, and the three lug are distributed equally between them, in no one vessel will you have one full lug. If you have four vessels and three lug are distributed amongst them, so you don't have a complete lug in any one vessel. Nevertheless, the Tanakhama says that regardless of how many vessels were present here in the spilling of the three lug of drawn water, as far as the Tanakhama is concerned, the ends is the only thing that's of interest to us. Namely, if three lug of drawn water fell in, even if the three lug had been distributed into many different vessels, it still will ruin the mikveh. It will prevent the mikveh from becoming acceptable. Yosef ben Choni Omer, he doesn't just look at the ends, the falling in of the three lug, but he looks at how they fell in. B'shnayim u'shlosha kelim poislam is hamikveh. If the three lug were distributed between two or three vessels, so that in each vessel there was a minimum of one lug of drawn water, so then the mikveh that into which they fell will become unfit, will be rendered puzzle. B'arbo v'chamisho, however, if the three lug were distributed amongst four or five different vessels, and from them the three lug poured into the mikveh, ein poislin es hamikveh. And that's what is meant by lefi cheshbon, according to the quantity or the calculation that was mentioned in the Mishnah, that mayim she'uvim will pasul a mikveh lefi cheshbon, according to the calculation that we just made, namely Yosef ben Choni. Whereas according to the Tanakhama, there's no issue of calculation. The only factor that plays a role is the ends, the fact that three lug of drawn water fell in. V'ein mei chatos na'asin mei chatos Elohim matan efer. The water used in the purification of tomei mace, of a tomei mace, becomes effective only when the ash is added to the water. So that this piece of Gemara will be focusing on the issue of order. You have a vessel that has in it water and ash. What is put into the vessel first, the water or the ash? On the outside margin, we have a topic heading, a nosei, in which we've written Machloikas Tanoim. There will be a Tanaic controversy im me'akev seder nesina so'efer lemayim chatos shalpor aduma. There will be a Tanaic controversy whether the order is something that's binding when it comes to preparing the water for the purification of the Tum'e Mace. That's the what's known as Mei Chatos. The Gemara. We read the Dibur Masel from the Mishnah, and we've added in which we've written in between the lines that from the Mishnah it's clear that water is first, and ash of the Poraduma, the red cow ash, is added to the water that was in the vessel first. So as far as the Mishnah is concerned, the order has been stated, and it seems to be binding as well. Namely, first water and then ash added to it. Man Tana, who is the author of this idea? Amar Abchiyo Bar Abba Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Deloi Kerebi Shimon. We see throughout this sugya that Abchiyo Bar Abba is the one who is answering this question of Man Tana. So here he tells us that it's Deloka Rabbi Shimon, that our Mishnah is not like Rabbi Shimon. According to Rabbi Shimon, if you put the ash in before the water, it will still be okay. Desanya. The Gemara quotes a source. The source is dealing not with Por Aduma, but it's dealing with Sota. The Sota is a case of a woman suspected of immoral relations, and she is brought to the Beis HaMikdash, in which at which point she is given a mixture of water and dirt that's mixed with water to drink, and the rest is featured in Masechet Sota for all of the details. For our purposes, though, all that you really have to know is that there's a water-dirt mixture that she is served in order to process the suspected woman. So it says in this Tanaic source, Hiktim Ofer Lamayim, if you put into the vessel from which she drinks, you put in the dirt before the water, pusel, it's not acceptable. Rabbi Shimon Machshir, Rabbi Shimon says, that's okay, even though you did things what might be considered out of order, you put the dirt in first, Rabbi Shimon says, it's okay. My time of Rabbi Shimon. What is the basis of Rabbi Shimon? Now, here we have a long answer, and that's represented by the tuff that's encircled to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara text and a descending vertical dashed line. It means that we really need to learn all of this piece in order to see the basis of Rabbi Shimon. Dichtiv. There is a pasuk that is in the context of Por Aduma. We have recorded this pasuk on the side, on the inside margin. You see, Bamidbar Yudtes Pasuk Yud Zayin. Let's read the pasuk before we get into the Gemara. V'lokhu latome me'afar sreifas achatos. And you shall take on behalf of the impure individual from the afar. The word afar is a tricky word. Sreifas achatos is the burnt. Chatos is a reference to the red cow. So it's, you're supposed to take from the ash of the burnt red cow, the nosan olov mayim chayim el keli. If you translate it, it would seem that you then pour the water, the water onto the ash, into the vessel. However, the Gemara will spend a lot of time analyzing this pasuk. We now go back to the Gemara, and we're asking, why is it that Rabbi Shimon says that the ash or the dirt into the vessel first is okay? Dichtiv, the pasuk says, v'lokhu latome me'afar sreifa sachatos v'nosan olov mayim chayim. So you see from here that the ash is put in first, and then on top of it is the water. V'tanya Rav Shimon Omer v'chi ofor hu. Rav Shimon says, in looking at this pasuk by Por Aduma, is it really ofor? Ofor is dirt that you dig up from the ground. V'halo efer hu. Well, but we're talking about ash. So the word spelled with an ayin represents dirt, but technically we're talking about the ash of a burnt red cow, and that word is spelled with an aleph. Why then, in a pasuk that should be spelled with an aleph, the word is spelled with an ayin? Shino hakosuv mimashmo. The pasuk deliberately has a change in it from what it should have said. Ladun heimenu gzeroshava, to enable us to use this pasuk as a basis of a word comparison, a gzeroshava, between the topic of Por Aduma and the topic of Soita. Ne'emar kan ofar, you find by Por Aduma the word ofar. Ne'emar lahalon, in the context of Sota, you have the word ofar. Sota was the case of the suspected woman. Ma lahalon ofar agabi hamayim, just like by Sota, there's an expectation of putting the dirt onto the water. The pasuk in Bamidbar Perek Hey Pasuk Yudzayin, we have it quoted on the side of our Gemara, on the inside margin, and in that pasuk you might see on the third line of the pasuk that we have written, we see there it says Mino Ofer Ashiyeh Bekarka Mishkan Yikach Hakoyin V'Nosan El Hamayim. You're taking from the dirt and putting it into the water. So in the Sota case, it's pretty clear that the dirt is going into the water, so that the water is there first and the dirt goes on to it, top of it. So just as the Gemara goes on, Ma lahalon, we said, Ofer agabi hamayim, there by Soto the dirt is onto the water, Afkan Ofer Agabi Hamayim. So too by Pora Duma, the ash goes onto the water. Uma Kan, and likewise here by Pora Duma, Hiktim Ofer Lomayim Kosher. If you put the Ofer in first, or the ash in first before the water, it's still okay. Af Lahalon, so too by Sota, Hiktim Ofer Lomayim Kosher. If you switch the order there, it's also okay. So you see that Rabbi Shimon, when it comes to the dirt water order of things, is flexible. The Hocha V'Hosam in Nolan, from in these cases of Sota and in Poraduma, how do you know that if you switch the order around, it's okay? What's the source for saying that the switch is okay? Answer, Trei Kroi Ksivi. There are two scriptural references that we will now feature, and you'll see the point. It says, number one, V'nosan olov mayim chayim. This is by the Pora Aduma. It says, you shall put upon it the mayim chayim. Well, upon it means on the ashes. Almo efer beresha. That shows you that the efer is first, because as the Pasuk says, you're going to put the water onto the afer. So what's in the vessel first? The ash. V'hadar ksiv, the Pasuk then says, Mayim Chayim El Keli. The Mayim Chayim means the water from the live spring. The water goes directly into the vessel. Notice there's nothing else there. There's just an empty vessel, and the water goes directly into the vessel, indicating that the water is first. So you have in the same Pasuk, what would seem to be a contradiction. Hawkates, I said, how do you resolve this? Rotsa noisein offer lamata, rotsa noisein offer lamalo. The point is, you can do it either way. So from here, from the pasuk dealing with the Pora Aduma, we see that the order is not binding. And we had a Gzera Shava before, connecting the topic of Pora Aduma to the topic of Sota, and from this, Rabbi Shimon comes to his conclusion that the order, water ash or water dirt, is not binding in these two topics of Sota and Pora Aduma water. The Tana Didon Maitaima, well, what about our Mishnah, the author of our Mishnah, that says the order is binding, namely first water, and then on top of that you add the ash. Omar Loch, Seifa Dekro Davka. The end of the Pora Aduma Pasuk is what's specific and what's binding. And the Seifa indicated water first. The Seifa of the Pasuk had said, Mayim Chayim El Keli, water directly into vessel, namely into empty vessel. Nothing else is there. So the water is put in first. Now, the Nosan Olav, the earlier part of the Pasuk that says, you shall place on the dirt the water. Well, that isn't telling me anything about order, but rather le'arvon. It's an instruction that after you put the ash onto the water, then mix it. That's v'nosan alav, means then mix it, which basically means that Rashi explains that through the mixing of it, the water that was on the bottom, so to speak, is now mixed and it's now on top of the ash. My chosis d'amris sefer dekro dafka Dilma Resha Dafka. What is it that made the Tana, our Tana, feel that the end of the Pasuk is that which is binding, and that the beginning of the earlier part of the Pasuk is not a binding instruction? In other words, regarding order, the Tana of our Mishnah says the end of the Pasuk is that which is binding with regard to the issue of order, namely water first. What made him decide that the end of the Pasuk is that which is the determining factor, and not the earlier part of the Pasuk? So the Gemara answers, Lo Motzis Amris. You can't say the other way, namely that the Resha is Dafka, which would then tell us, put the ash in first. Why not? Ma Motzinu B'chol Mokoim Machshir L'malo. We find in other cases that the Machshir, the element that causes the water to be effective, the machshir, which in the case of Sota, for example, was the dirt, that's expected to be put in on top, put on top of the water. Rashi says that like we explained, this ma motzinu b'chol mokum, just like we find elsewhere. And Rashi says, the lower part of the page, he says, kagon b'sota, ofar l'mala, the dirt is placed on top of the water shoe, hamachshir samayim, livdoik, so it causes the water to become effective to check her out. We're talking about the woman who is suspect of an adulterous relationship. So the water dirt, a mixture that she drinks, checks her out. Vahave lamala, the kule alma modu, everyone agrees by the sota, the mitzvah lahaktim hamayim, that it's the mitzvah, the right thing to do is have the water there first. Kidichtiv umin ha'ofar, it says v'nosan el hamayim, that the offer is placed into the water that's there first. So everyone agrees in the case of sota that the best thing to do is to put the dirt into the water. So to all other places, like the case of the water being used to serve as the purification of the tomei mace, also that which is added to the water is placed, is in fact in that water. First water, and then the additive. In the case of the paraduma, it's the ash of the of that paraduma. So let's just read that last phrase again. Ma motzinu b'chol mokom machshir l'malo, afkan, so too here by the paraduma and the mei chatos machshir l'malo. The ein beis hapras oise beis hapras v'chulei. We saw in our Mishnah that one beis hapras doesn't make another beis hapras. As we said earlier, the Gemara will be self-explanatory. So we go on. Disnan, Rebbe Elazar Omer beis hapras. Oh, we should read again. Masnisin delo kribelezer. Our Mishnah that says a beis hapras doesn't cause a neighboring other field to become a beis hapras. Well, that's not like Rebbe Eliezer. Disnan Rebbe Eliezer Omer beis hapras oisa beis hapras. According to Rashi's approach to this sugya, though there's a different approach taken by the Tosfos, Rashi, you can see at the bottom, says Rebbe Elazar Omer beis hapras oisa beis hapras kol arba hasodos shesoviv beis hapras hein im nechreshu the offer beis hapras mitamon, all the surrounding fields to the original field in which a missing or a lost body had been plowed up. So all the fields surrounding it on four sides will also become beis hapras if they are plowed along with the, we'll call, central field. The Gemara continues, V'rabbonon ad kama, as far as our Mishnah that says that a central field that is had a body buried in it, and we didn't know where in that central field the body is lying. The Rabbanan said that though that field itself becomes entirely a place of tumah, because the bones of this of the deceased are scattered, and the entire field comes under doubt. How about what further would come under doubt according to the Rabbanan who are represented in our Mishnah? So the Gemara explains, ki also Rav Dimi Omer Reish Lakish, Omer Rabbi Shimon Bar Abba. We're now at the very top of Daf Yud Gimel. Sholosh Sodois Ushtei Ma'anos. Ma'anos is a word meaning furrows. The term Sholosh Sodos, Rashi explains, is if you have your, we'll call it the central field, and it's plowed either east-west or in a north-south fashion. In other words, the plow will make furrows in the field going back and forth in two directions, north-south or east-west. So this phenomenon of causing a field to fall into doubt because the pieces of the deceased, of the corpse, might have been drawn by the plow, the two fields that are to either side of the original field in which the doubt arose, two fields to either side, either north-south of our central field or east-west of our central field, they too will become affected. However, they're affected to an extent called shtei manos. Shtei manos means one mana per field. What is the distance of a mano? We said a mano is a furrow. V'kamo maloi mano, meo amo. 100 amo. Kidisanyo. Hachurish is a kever. If a plow runs over a buried body, oisa besapras, meloi mano, meo amo. For 100 amos, in either direction, you have a situation of doubt has now arisen, because the body run over by a plow, the plow blade will carry along with it as it's moving any body parts or even small pieces of bone to a distance of 100 amo. So now what we have to do is just imagine the following. You have the original field in which a body was buried, but we don't know what part of the field it was buried in. It might be at the northwestern corner, or the southeastern corner, or in the middle. We just don't know. So what you have to calculate is now 100 amos east and 100 amos west of that field, we called it the central field, are also will now also fall into this doubt, this tuma doubt. But beyond that, no. As opposed to the shita that we said our Mishnah is not like, the shita of Rabbi Lezer was much stricter in saying that all fields, in all four directions of our central field, all fall under the Beis HaPras doubt, whereby the anyone who enters those fields will become Sufek Tomei Meis. Our Mishnah, though, is much more lenient and says that the doubt remains only with regard to the original field in which the body had been buried, plus 100 amos in two directions of that field, either north-south or east-west, depending on how the field in which direction the plow is plowing up that original field. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.